right into the Word, because I'm not sure that I have enough time to finish everything I want to say. We do ask you, though, to remember sometime today to support us with your tithe and offering. We always need your help, and we're very thankful to those of you that do support us and have supported us over the years. The book of Mark, chapter 10, and I'm going to begin reading with verse 46. As you're turning there, I'll give you a backdrop on the scenario that we'll look at today. Just before Jesus meets blind Bartimaeus, he has an encounter with what is described as the rich young ruler. And if you go back to verse 17, you'll see the whole story, which we won't read today, but you'll see the rich young ruler, he comes running, a rich man, he comes running, puts himself in a posture of kneeling before Jesus, asking, "What must I do to have eternal life?" But then as you get to the end of that story, you find that this same rich man walks away sorrowful because he had great possessions. Now, God doesn't mind you and I having possessions. It's not positive or negative. It only becomes negative when we start putting things before God, when we start making those things become an idol in our life. But it's interesting how the Holy Spirit recorded this, as you have the rich man who pretty much rejects taking up the cross and walking after Jesus. But then you have the blind man here beginning in verse 46. Let's just read the 46th verse. "And they came to Jericho, and as they went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging." Let's pray. Father, we just thank you this morning for your goodness. We thank you, Lord, that in your grace and your mercy, you've made accessible to us the engrafted word that's able to save the soul, that's able to bring us right into the very presence of God. We thank you for that this morning. Now, Father, I ask you that you would bless the people that support this ministry today and any day that they support us. Lord, let it be a blessing in their life. Return it unto them many times over. And Father, I ask you that you would help me today to make a certain sound, to bring forth the truths within this passage that we're looking at. Father, illuminated by the Holy Spirit in the hearts of your people, and I will thank you for it. And the church said, amen. Blind Bartimaeus, as we look at this scenario, we find that there's much instruction for every Christian. And not just for Christians, but for anyone who wants to make an approach to Christ. There's plenty of instruction here for us. In some sense, blind Bartimaeus, he represents every Christian because he starts in a position of absolute blindness. And you have to admit, before you came to Christ, before I came to Christ, I had no spiritual sight. I was morally blind. I had no compass. I didn't know which way I was going because I could not see in God's light. But it begins here by saying that they came to Jericho, and as they went out, it means that whatever amount of time Jesus spent in Jericho, blind Bartimaeus didn't make an approach. It was as Jesus was leaving the city, and this is the only time that we find in the record of the gospel that Jesus ever went to Jericho. So this is blind Bartimaeus' last opportunity. He wouldn't get another chance. And so Jesus is leaving along with a great multitude, and it says that blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat at the highway side begging. Now, his father's name, Timaeus, is mentioned there, and many commentators think that it's because he was prominent in the society of that day. Maybe he was well-to-do, maybe he had riches. And somehow his son fell into this situation, that you have a father that's perhaps well-to-do, and you have a son that's a beggar. And you say, well, that seems odd that you would have that combination. But when we look at the human race, we started as sons of God. Adam is called the son of God. He had access to everything that God had, everything God had created. He didn't just have access, he had dominion over it. And because of the efforts in the garden, the fall in the garden, he was turned in the entire human race into spiritual beggars. He sat at the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he cried out and said, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. Now, when he heard, he couldn't see, so it had to be what he heard. And the scripture tells you and I, faith cometh by hearing. The human race is spiritually blind. They can't see anything, but if they could just hear the gospel, if they could just hear the truth, it causes a change within the heart that the eyes begin to open, then they begin to see what they could not see before. When he had heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, the first thing you have to do is hear it. You have to hear it. But you know what? Hearing is not enough if you don't put some legs on your faith. You have to also react to what it is that you're hearing. And the Bible says that he heard that it was Jesus, but then he began to cry out. And this is the second step. This is what humanity refuses to do, is cry out to Jesus Christ for salvation. In fact, most of humanity won't even agree that they need salvation. How many here this morning just know, I needed Jesus. I had one foot already in hell. I needed him. And he came just in time. So this blind Bartimaeus, he heard that it was Jesus. Then he cried out to the Jesus that he heard about, saying, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. That precludes the assumption of it being innocent. He's saying, I already know I'm guilty. I'm not trying to plead my case. I need mercy. And I don't know about you, that's what I needed. I didn't have a case to plead. I didn't have a whole lot of good things that I could say. All my good things outweigh my bad things. I had some good things, but I had so many more bad things. But even if it was 50-50, or even if I had more good things than bad things, if you bring in all of the good things and just one bad thing, you're out of the kingdom. God demands perfection. Thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. You know, it's funny. When you begin to express faith, that's when the battle starts right there. When you begin to express faith in Jesus Christ, it seems like that's when all the powers of hell begin to encroach upon you, trying to back you down. Has that happened to anybody in your life? You try to take a step closer to Jesus and it seems like all hell breaks loose. Everything is pushing you back. That's because it's a straight gate and it's a narrow way and there are obstacles put in the way trying to divert you to go through the wide gate, to take the path of least resistance. Many charged him that he should hold his peace. You know, one thing, you can't listen to church folks. You can't be led by men. If every time somebody says something, you try to go their direction, the one thing I've learned in my life, my God, think for yourself. I've always said, if I go to hell, I'm going to hell for what I think. I'm not going to let somebody else lead me down the road to hell. And so the church folks charged him that he should hold his peace. But here's what he did. He cried the more, a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. It means that he was determined. His faith rose to a level that other people couldn't talk him down. Other people couldn't orchestrate and say, no, don't do that. You're being too loud. You're praising too hard. You're being too extra. No, he said, no, I'm going to call on him. This is my last opportunity. And I can just think of blind Bartimaeus. I can just imagine his response. Hey, brother, I'm the one blind. Both your eyes are working and you're saying, be quiet. I'm the one that needs help. He cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. And Jesus stood still. Now get that. Faith will stop Jesus right in his tracks. He's walking out of the city. He's leaving. He don't even see blind Bartimaeus, but he hears that cry. He hears this loud mouth over there saying, Jesus, I need some help. And he stood fast. I hear faith. I hear it. Jesus stood still and he commanded him to be called. Now notice something here. He only commanded the one to be called that was making the noise. He didn't call none of the other church folks to him. He didn't call any of the rest of the crowd. He called the one that was crying out in desperation, have mercy upon me. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. Now, do you see how fickle human beings are? They was telling him, be quiet just a moment ago. And in one moment, they said, yeah, come on. Yeah, you're good. Let's go. That's why you don't listen to people. You don't let other people change your mind. You look at the situation and you figure it out yourself. I'm not saying that you don't take advice. Listen to good advice, but then you do the calculation in your head whether that advice was right or wrong. It says, and he, speaking of blind Bartimaeus, he casting away his garment, rose, and he came to Jesus. What a story this is. In those days, the beggar's garment would be tattered and worn. You could look at him, the way the person's dressed, just like looking maybe at a person who's chronically homeless now. You can tell that they don't have the same means as the rest of society. And it was the same with the beggars of that day. And the beggar's garment was a robe, but it had the front of it was wide, like pleated. So when they sat down, they spread that garment in front of them. And as they begged for alms, people would just throw their alms right into the garment. And at the end of the day, he would collect up the garment. And that was what he had to live on. And this man, it seems that he's done this more than once. It seems like he's crying. Of course, he's blind. So it seems like he's chronically a beggar. But it says that he cast away his garment. That means that when Jesus called him, he made up in his mind, I am walking away from this lifestyle. I don't need these tools anymore. I'm walking away from the entire lifestyle. He cast away the means of making money that he had used. Now, this is important because I've seen more people not walk into the kingdom simply because they want to hold on to their lifestyle. They want to hold on. That's what happened to the rich young ruler. He walked away sorrowful because Jesus says, sell all that you have, give it to the poor, take up your cross and come after me. And he said, whoa, I can't do that. See, many people just want to add Jesus to their lifestyle. But if he allowed you to do that, it means that your will is more important than his will. It means that you're the king and he's not the king. And he won't tolerate that. When you're trying to come to Jesus, you have to lay it all down. I look at my own salvation experience. I mean, everything flipped in just a moment's time. I remember I got saved and I went home and I called my mother. I was always the black sheep of the family. I got in all the trouble. And so I called my mother and told her, Jesus just saved me. She thought I was high again. And she said, and it was somewhat doubting, she said, well, if you got saved and Jesus saved you, then you could stop smoking cigarettes. I said, what? She said, yeah, if Jesus saved you, anything you don't want to do, you don't have to do it no more. I never smoked another cigarette until this day. Man, that's power. That's the power of Jesus' salvation. But immediately within the first couple of days, I remember my album collection. For those that know what albums are, my music collection. I had albums. I mean, I had a lot of them. I had all the good stuff, the Motown stuff. And I remember on a hot Texas day, taking it all out to the Dipsy dumpster and throwing it all away. I remember getting my little black book of girlfriends and women that I would run with. And I remember throwing away the black book, but I made a call to a lot of them just saying, I'm sorry for the way that I was. I remember driving from Texas all the way back to Wichita, Kansas to apologize to a woman that it wasn't right. What I was doing is not right, and I'm sorry. You see, old things pass away when you come to Jesus. You cast away that old garment. It's tattered and torn. It's the garment of a spiritual beggar. You cast it away. And you look for Jesus to clothe you in his righteousness. Hallelujah. And casting away his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. Anytime you come to Jesus, you're rising up. And you're not just rising. In Adam, you fail. When you come to Jesus, you stand back up from the fall. You rise back up. And in fact, the plan of God is that he takes all of his people to a place and a position that's far higher than Adam ever was before the fall. You see, before the fall, Adam did not have God's Holy Spirit living permanently, abiding on the inside. Adam did not have the promise of an incorruptible body. He didn't have all the precious promises you and I have. So it's God's plan for those who will rise up and come to Jesus to take you to a place far superior than what Adam ever had before the fall. Praise the Lord. Casting away his garment, he rose and he came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" Now, that's a wonderful question. You have the creator of the universe, he that created and sustains the entire universe, asking you, what is it that you want? Now, here's where a lot of people would make a mistake. Well, Heavenly Father, if it be thy will, I wonder if you could just make sure that the alms that I collect today are greater than they were yesterday. I need a blessing in my alms gathering. I heard Brother Swagger say this any number of times, and it's right. When you ask God for something, ask big. Ask big. Don't insult him with a little bitty ask. He is the creator of all things. You can ask him for whatever you will. And the other thing, I almost hate to hear this, "Lord, if it be thy will." Well, are you saved or not? If you have just a modicum of understanding of this book, you know his will. If you have his Holy Spirit abiding on the inside of you, you know his will. That's for something who's the people who are not in relationship with God, if it be thy will. I know what's in his will. He's already told me his will. This is the last will and testament of Jesus Christ. I know his will. And I know that usually his will is not my will. And so Jesus asked him, "What will ye? What wilt thou that I give unto you?" And the blind man said, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." Notice how blunt that is. He's not dancing around the mulberry bush. He's not trying to dress it up with religiosity. He's just saying, "Man, I just need to see. He's not thinking about taking in more alms. He's saying, "My big problem is that I am blind. I can't see." And how many times do we waste our prayers just looking for greater satisfaction in terms of the natural? "God, I need a better paying job." There's nothing wrong with a better paying job. But is that really worth your prayer when you're morally corrupt? I mean, when you have the corruption of sin eating away at the inside, are we really just, is another job going to help that? Yeah, I just want to make it in my career. But that moral corruption's on the inside. And so many times, listen, the devil will help you in your career. As long as you don't address the corruption, he'll help you. He'll make you a Michael Jackson. He'll make you a Cardi B. He'll make sure you have all that this world has to offer, but you're still going to hell. It don't make no sense to have everything in this world. What does it profit a man to gain the whole world and to lose his own soul? And so this man is very concise. "You asked me what I wanted. I'm blind. I need to see. I need my eyesight restored unto me." Jesus said unto him, go thy way. Thy faith has made thee whole. Now, what he's telling him is, I release you. Go do whatever you're going to do, and I give you this word. Your faith that you've expressed in me as the Son of David has made you whole. And at some point, the man's eyes popped open. And he's once again, he's able to see. But what's important to see here is that Jesus said, go your way. Go do whatever it is that you was doing. Go any direction that you want to go. But the Bible says here that he immediately received his sight and he followed Jesus in the way. In other words, his way after an encounter with Jesus Christ became Jesus's way. And see, this is where sometimes we miss it as Christians. We come to the Lord. He does a work in our lives, but we don't dedicate our lives to him. We keep trying to limp along in our own way, doing our own thing. It's like the demoniac of the Gadarenes when Jesus healed him. He was sitting clothed and in his right mind. But when Jesus left, he was fighting to get on the ship to leave with Jesus. I want to go where you're going. And Jesus told him, go back and tell your friends and your family what great things the Lord has done for you. In other words, Jesus was defining his way. This is the way you go here. And he went back and he turned the city out. See, so many times, these instructions are so crucial because so many times we simply do what we see other people do. And usually the broad numbers of people are going the wrong direction. Give your whole life to him. Give everything to him. Because when he sets you up, he's going to set you up better. And the contrast between the rich young ruler walking away sorrowful and this man walking away with what no other person could have ever gave him, it should not be wasted on us. The rich young ruler, I've got to hold on to my stuff. I'm in love with my stuff. And I got some money. And I'm not willing to give it up. But if you could just give me a bobblehead Jesus that I could set on my dashboard and a bumper sticker to put on the back of my car, I think that'd be enough. And see, that's Christianity has degraded to a great degree there. Most Christians now have almost no prayer life at all. And even fewer Christians have a prayer life where they're able to easily pray for an hour. And it's because we don't want his way. Now, Jesus prayed all night long. Jesus was known for his prayer, but we don't want his way. We want to kind of mix some of his stuff in with most of our stuff and find a little place that we can just be at ease in Zion. I like it here. I'm good here. And listen, God will lead. If you like it there, just like the rich young ruler, he saw the rich young ruler drop his head and walk away sorrowful. You don't see nowhere where Jesus said, oh, wait a minute, son, come back. Let me talk to you. Let's negotiate. No, he don't negotiate. He said, deny yourself, take up the cross, and come after me. Those are the essentials. You have to do that. And so he followed Jesus in Jesus' way. You know, sanctification, if it had been 10 years ago, 20 years ago, I can't use myself really as an example of this. But many people, their sanctification is so slow in terms of releasing themselves into trust for Jesus Christ. We try to hold on to what we have for so long before we realize this is not working for me. We waste our lives. And I guess it does it happened to me because I held on to dope. I held on to a piece of dope. Not all of it, just a little piece. most of it I threw away. God, look at all of this. But I kept this little secret back here. And over time, that little secret grew up into a Goliath that I was no longer able to tame. And it was just the mercy and the grace of God coming back the second time to slay my Goliath. You know what? He'll slay your Goliath this morning. You got something going on in your life, something so big that it's making a boast. It's making a boast in your life. Jesus stands willing and ready and very much able to slay the Goliath in every one of our lives, but he's waiting for our total commitment to him. See, when you got saved, you were given all of the equipment that you could dedicate your whole life to him. All the equipment is there, but it doesn't mean that we are always using the equipment that we were given. One of the best examples that I can think of is our knowledge of the Word of God. I over the past several years, have been writing commentaries, and they've been such a great blessing to me. And I wonder, what happened to the first 20 years of your salvation? You didn't do that kind of study. You wasn't in that place. And I understand we mature and we grow, but what a waste of 20 years of salvation, and I wasn't down into the nuances of the Word. It becomes important for you and I as Christians to release ourselves and simply trust God. And the thing is, why we try to hold on to parts of our lives, we don't trust them. I had a man several years ago, we were talking about a commitment that I had made to the Lord. And he just simply, he was being absolutely honest. This was a Christian brother. He said, man, it's sad for me to say, I just don't trust God like that. And he was being honest. He was just saying, I'm just not there right now. And I think for all of us, myself included, there's a place that we're not there right now. And so we just try to hold on to our safety. We're like an elephant. We got to make sure that that ground is firm before we stand there rather than just jumping into God's hands. I'm just cast all your weight into his hands and let him dictate, go this way. Go that way. And after a while, it becomes just second nature. You don't even have to put the mental exercise in. You just immediately open up your spirit to hear the voice of the God to get which direction am I going, Lord? What am I doing? That's what he wants for every one of us. Amen. Blind Bartimaeus. Blind as a bat, but came to Jesus Christ and his eyes were wide open. Praise the Lord. Would you bow your heads, please, all over the room this morning? Father, we love you this morning and we thank you. We thank you for this engrafted word. We thank you, Lord, for all of the truths that you've hidden from the wise and the prudent. But Lord, you make them available to your people that we might govern our lives, that we might grow in grace and grow in the knowledge of God. Lord, that we might correct ourselves through your word. Father, we just thank you this morning. Lord, oh, take the scales from our eyes. Open our eyes even wider. Let the light of the glorious gospel of Christ shine into us. Open the eyes of our understanding, Lord. Come on all over the room. Would you stand to your feet if you're able this morning? Stand to your feet and just reach out to the Lord. I don't know where you are in your walk. But none of us are where we need to be. Just reach out to the Lord. God, help me today. God, I'm crying out, have mercy upon me, thou son of David. Just as you had mercy upon blind Bartimaeus, God, I cry out to you this morning. Have mercy upon me. Come on, just reach out to the Lord this morning. If you have a need, now is your time. Just reach out, Father. I need your help. I need your assistance, oh God. Have mercy upon me, thou son of David. Have mercy upon me.
Lord, as you show your mercy upon us, we're grateful and we're thankful. Because we need you, Lord. We need you to open our hearts, our eyes, so that we can see your way, your will, your purpose for our lives, Lord God, so that we can understand your direction. And what you want us to do, what you want us to carry out. Lord God, we need you. Hear the cry of our hearts, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, Father, we thank you and we pray for the clarity of your word, revelation of your word, Father, the correction of your word, Lord, and the love that's in your word towards us. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. want to take some time to thank those that have joined us by webcast. If you haven't had a chance to give today, we thank you for your support, and we ask that you do take that chance to give. Second announcement, we do need donations to the food pantry. So if you're able to contribute to that, see the screen for specifics. Third announcement, there will be no Bible class, no Bible study on December 11th, the 25th, and January 1st. So please take note of that. And one last announcement. Pastor Thomas has been very faithful to this ministry, and we want to do a farewell luncheon for him and his family this coming Saturday, which is December 14th, from the time between 12:30 and 2:30 p.m. in the Grace Room across the street. There is a sign-up sheet outside the in the lobby on one of the pub tables. So please, if you are able to come out and be a part of this farewell luncheon, we would greatly appreciate it. Just to give the family some support, show them our love and our gratitude and our thanks for him and his family being so faithful to this ministry. Amen. We do ask that this luncheon be kept to Christ Unveiled, the body of Christ Unveiled. Those that have been, you know, faithful to this ministry and part of this ministry, please keep the invitation just to the family body. Amen. So that is this Saturday, December 14th, between 12:30 and 2:30. And there is a sign up sheet. So please come out and support, and if you're able to. With that being said, everyone be blessed. We thank you once again for being with us this morning. Amen. In Jesus' name, you are dismissed.